Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
So it is a special Thursday night rugby because the Ireland team to face Japan early on Saturday morning was named today. Keith Wood and John Muldoon are on the line to talk through it. Evening, gents.
Evening.
Good evening.
John, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the victory over Scotland last weekend. Your thoughts on that? Anything in particular that stood out for you in that Ireland performance?
Oh, I think that obviously the defence was huge. I think what we saw in the warm-up games versus what we saw, especially the backs, I think the aggressiveness of the backs and how they snuffed out the Scottish attack was phenomenal. When we think about the time and space, a lot of people giving out about how Stockdale defended, and if you flip that in its head, the way they defended against Scotland, I think they were showing different pictures, and they definitely had a different mindset, and they went out to really attack in defence. I think that was the main standout. I think their D since that first game against England has come on massively, and obviously, look, no one's going to show plays and no one's going to try and give away their prized players early in the off season. But I think we saw a snippet of what's to come over the next couple of weeks with a really aggressive D, and you would just expect those kind of first play phases and second play phases or special plays that Joe has up his sleeve. But it was really good to see the D,
Keith,
stand up. Yeah.
Keith, you were on with us directly after the game on Sunday. You've had a bit more time now to think about it. That game plan and that aggression, was that very much, do you think, a Joe Schmidt game plan he'd been working on for weeks for Scotland? Or is that a game plan we're going to see a lot of that replicated against South Africa in 3 weeks' time?
I did think Stockdale did significantly better than he had done. He was kind of lost in space a bit during the warm-up, because it's a particular style. He may not have a huge amount of experience on him. We do forget, actually, that he is growing up as a rugby player in an international jersey, not a club jersey. He got picked maybe well ahead of time because of his ability to find the try line. So he's still going to have a bit of difficulty. I do think we're helped a bit by the weather. Scotland's handling wasn't as slick as it would be, and I think we could have been caught a little bit at that stage. So I wouldn't get too excited by it just yet. And I would say that I thought Scotland were outstandingly poor.
John, I'll come back to you then, and yeah, where Ireland go in this next 3 week spell, starting with Japan. World Cups have a habit of sort of taking on a life of their own and a pattern of their own. From Joe Schmidt's point of view, do you want the players to relax a little bit over the next three weeks and the next three matches so that they can find something to get up again for that South Africa game? Or do you get to a limit that you got to against Scotland and that's the bare minimum now?
I think it's a mixture of both. Just firstly, on Keith's point, I think Ireland absolutely killed Scotland up front, but and that was what laid the foundations to winning the game. But just obviously back to your original question, I think you've got to get a mixture of both. Look, the fellas have been in training for on 3 months now, and it would have been quite intense, and all the physical work is going to be all done now for them. It's just about when they're on the pitch, getting like crossing the T's and dotting the I's and getting all that, all the kind of prep done and everything. And in their downtime, they'll be just switching off completely, getting out of the hotel, going for walks, doing activities, basically anything to keep their mind off it. At this moment in time, it's a hugely important game over the next couple of weeks. I think the big thing, if we think back to Eddie O'Sullivan's regime when we played Georgia all those years ago, and they rolled out the same team because the performance the first day wasn't good, and then they probably had an eye on the following week, we're playing the following week, we don't want to get injured. It's important that the squad is used, and it's important that the players that are maybe not seen as first choice players, but then again, who are and who aren't first-choice players, because there's a lot of positions up for grabs still. So it's important that the squad feel that they're needed and they're wanted. And that's a huge part of it, being having that good, obviously, balance of training hard, which you're not really going to do a huge amount of, but also feeling that the squad is there. And I think when you look at some of the the lesser tier nations and how the structure of the World Cup is set up. They've obviously tweaked it a little bit this time round to allow some of those smaller teams to get an opportunity. But how the big teams win these competitions is by using their squad and using their squad effectively. And I think, obviously, with the changes that they can make in the next couple of weeks, that's seen as an opportunity for people to fight for places, and that's a good thing. Rattling out the same team every week, is you can't do it. And obviously, when you've got a big game like South Africa, what looks like South Africa in a couple of weeks, you've got to protect players as well for that, and you've got to look after some of the bigger players.
So the team news for Ireland is that there's four changes to the team that started against Scotland. All the changes are in the back line. Jack Carty will make a start out half. Joey Carberry's named among the replacements, so Ireland not taking any chances at all with Johnny Sexton. Chris Farrell comes in for Bundee Aki with Keith Earls and Rob Kearney back in the 15 after recovering from injury. They're in place of Andrew Conway and Jordan Larmour. There was due to be a fifth change with Jack Conan coming in for Peter O'Mahony, but Conan, very unfortunately, picked up a foot injury in training. So O'Mahony is back in and does start. He starts at 6, CJ Stander at 8. Keith, we're talking there about the pattern of a World Cup and this month that is now perfectly set up for Ireland ahead of that game you would expect against South Africa. Is this a team you think Joe Schmidt is very much picking with the next 3 weeks in mind in terms of going with the same pack again, knowing that next week he could probably change the entire pack and give them a rest?
I do think so. And it was interesting what John was saying in terms of times past. We seem to have a high level of confidence in the players in the full extended squad, which I have to say I think is probably a first that's been the case. And this is a big game for us. We're playing the hosts. I think it also is...
Yeah, unfortunately, we're having quite a few difficulties with Keith's line. This is the problems with Thursday night rugby. Keith's line is set up for Wednesday night rugby. But we'll see what we can do. It's raining heavily in Clare, I'm told. Sorry about this, John. We'll come back to you again on that team selection. Like, you look at it from Andrew Conway, Jordan Larmour's point of view, and both of them outstanding last week. Jordan Larmour is in a 23. Do you just have that conversation as a player with management and Joe Schmidt says, listen, you did everything that was asked, but there is a longer term plan here. Bide your time. I now know if I need you against South Africa, you've put yourself right in the mix, and you just trust that players mentally can figure this out for themselves.
Absolutely. And both Keith Earls and Rob Kearney need game time. I would say that was the conversation that was had, that these fellas need game time. Look, Rob Kearney gets a lot of stick, but he does a huge job for us. Defensively, he covers an awful lot of ground in the backfield. It's a lot of unseen work that people don't see and probably don't fully understand. But because Ireland play a lot of numbers and it's the way rugby's gone in the last 18 months to 2 years, a lot of teams fill the front field. But it means you need a very smart fullback. And Rob Kearney is that. He covers a lot of ground, doesn't make mistakes, is always in the right position. And obviously, under the high ball, we all know what he's like. But I think that's an unseen thing that maybe a lot of people don't understand. And he's got Joe's confidence massively in that position. And Jordan was out of position a couple of times. He's still probably, as Keith just said there about Stockdale, he's still learning it, and he's learning it in a high-intense environment. But the two lads need game time, and they need to go out there and put their best foot forward for an opportunity. But you could probably also put Peter Mahoney in there as maybe a change as well, because what did he play, 15, 16 minutes the last day? So it's effectively five changes. He hasn't much game time under his belt either for the last couple of weeks. So you're effectively going with five changes, and that has been probably the starting back row for the last while, obviously with Conan out injured and Dan Levy at home. But that's probably been the starting back row for quite a while now. So there's good balance there, and I think, obviously, it's quite a strong team. I'm a bit surprised that Japan haven't started their captain, Michael Leitch. Considering they don't have a game for another 7 days, it's a surprise. But the player they've brought on the team from Afanasi Mackie is a phenomenal player. He's hot-headed, and I'm sure the Irish players will be talking about him. He can be both a winner for Japan and a loser for them, because he has a checkered past, to say the least. He's got booted out of Bath. He's got booted out of the Melbourne Rebels for off-field issues. But he's a boy that can play. He's a phenomenal player. So I'm sure he'll be one of the team, or sorry, one on the opposition team that Farrell will be targeting and trying not to give them him especially a sniff of the ball.
Yeah, certainly with that team selection and Leach not included in the 15 would give you the sense that the Scotland game is very much Japan's focus over the next few
Absolutely.
Weeks. Keith Wood is back with us. Keith, you were talking there about the trust in the depth and in the trust in that full 31-man squad. And with that in mind, in many ways, last week couldn't have gone any better for Joe Schmidt because he got a performance from Conway, from Larmour, from Farrell. And that now that Kearney and Earls are back, they're actually coming back in knowing they have to perform. They're coming back in under a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, they are. But I equally, I think, and what I was trying to get before, I think the weather took over my previous comment. I think some of the top tier nations are really trying to get their, if possible, trying to get their peaking at quarter and semi-final, you know. So, and that's an incredibly difficult balancing act. But what happens by the manner in which Ireland played last week is that you have a full set of squad of players who are flying it and are full of confidence. Then you've got the more senior guys coming back in. Their attitude always is to be the best player on the field. So that's not going to be an issue in any way, shape, or form. But it means if there's any dip anywhere, you have a high level of confident players immediately behind and everybody's vying for a position. That's great. But it's great for the squad because we just look like we're in a much stronger position. But what I loved for the game last weekend was that the guys that came on off the bench improved the side when they came on. Like, that is one of the gold standards that you're looking for all the time.
All our rugby coverage is with thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. I want to bring you a clip from this morning's press conference. These were the thoughts of Conor Murray after Jack Carty was named as his halfback partner for the weekend.
He's quite a calm character, Jack, which is good to have outside you. And, you know, he's picked up. Like, anyone comes into the setup, you know, they're probably, you know, the pressure to learn and step up is on them, and you know he's responded really well to that, and you know he's gotten to grips with the way we play and the kind of tactics and the phase calls and what's expected of him, and like I said, that kind of laid back nature has actually kind of aided him, I think, in coming into an environment like this and learning off the likes of Johnny and you know, I know Joey's probably younger than him, but you know, he's been around and in the setup for a while. So I'm excited to play with Jack. You know, like I said, he can take it and destroy it, and you know, he's performed really well. I think any time he's been given a chance, whether it be in the Six Nations just gone or the Summer Series, and coming over here and coming on last weekend, he's done really well. So excited to take the field.
We can come back at a later date to the shambolic nature of the press conferences around this World Cup and the terrible audio that we're getting back, which is very much a world rugby issue rather than a off-the-ball issue. But the gist of the point there from Conor Murray was that Jack Carty is a very laid-back character. John Muldoon is with us. John, you obviously played a lot with Jack Carty and you would have seen him coming up as a young player through the system at Connacht. Joe Schmidt said that he told him on Tuesday that he was going to be starting because he wanted to make sure he got his head round it. What sort of personality is Carty? Is that sort of news water off a duck's back? Or is he the type of player actually, yeah, he likes the time to process this and get his head properly in the game?
Oh, look, Jack's a phenomenal bloke, phenomenal lad. He's a very popular member in the Connacht squad with the players, with the coaches, with supporters, everyone. He's a credit to his family, and they're very, very nice family. And Jack has had a lot of ups and downs. Mm. Like, I was thinking earlier, I texted him earlier, I was chatting to him for a little while over text, and you think about when we won the Pro 12 in 2016, he had a couple of ropey moments, and AJ McGinty came in, and actually, just as a side note, the three outhalves for Connacht in that year are all in the World Cup with Ireland, America and Canada, so
you did all right.
But but Jack had a few ups and downs towards the end of the season, and actually didn't make the match day squad in the final. But since then, he's grown as a player, grown as a person, and he started to mature massively last year. And I was delighted to see him play so well. But I think Jack, being Jack, would like to know early and would like to get his mind around it. And speaking to him today, he's massively excited, and he deserves it. He's been playing really, really well, and I think a lot of that's gone down to hard work. And a lot of people will say, "Oh, that's an easy thing to say," but Jack works extremely hard on his game. He's very diligent at what he does, looks after himself very well, and I'm delighted to see the rewards that are coming. But as I said to him earlier on, the rewards are when he walks off the pitch, and for him, he just needs to slot into that team. They'll bring him along, and there's a lot of good players around him that will guide him there, and he just needs to do the basics well, and not try and pull rabbit out of hats, and not try to be the man of the match. Or if that happens, it happens. But look, he's had a phenomenal year. The last season, he was probably one of the top form 10s in the Pro 14. So I'm delighted for him. Obviously, he's been blessed with a couple of injuries, but he's there now to take his opportunity, and hopefully he does himself proud.
Keith, listening to John there, he sounds a bit like a mini Joe Schmidt, because I'd imagine the message from Joe Schmidt to Jack Carthy would probably be quite similar on Saturday, stepping in to Johnny Sexton's boots. Do the basics well, no need to pull a rabbit from the hat, just get the job done simply.
Yeah, that's very very sage advice, really. He looks calm. I don't know him at all. He looks calm. He doesn't seem flustered, which is pretty impressive for a guy that's in the spotlight. And it is about playing a simple game. He doesn't have to play Johnny's game. I don't know. I've been very impressed with him. And Joe obviously is impressed with him because he's giving him the nod ahead of Joey Carberry. And I like that too. I think Joey Carberry is trying to get back to fitness. I could see Carty staying on for a big part of the game, and maybe Joey getting a run for the last 15 or 20. And hopefully that is the way it goes. But like, it's a fantastic opportunity to come from where he's come in the last year. This time last year, he wasn't capped at all. And now here he is starting in a World Cup match against the host nations. Pretty extraordinary.
On the Johnny Sexton situation, Keith, so Ron Nogara was on earlier in the week saying if he can't kick, then he's probably going to have to come off, that they can't end up in a situation in a World Cup quarterfinal where Conor Murray is taking the kicks. Does that change the thinking around Jack Carthy and what his role might be? Like, do you see any situation cropping up that if Johnny Sexton is fit to play the match but not to take the goal kicking, that Joe Schmidt wouldn't select him?
Well, actually, I don't think unless you then go and have Joey Carberry play at 15, which hasn't happened for a while, and you then have a more usual kicker on the field. And it's fine saying Conor Murray can kick the kicks. Of course he can, but he's not a goal kicker for his province. He doesn't goal kick under pressure all the time. So technically he kicks fine, but it's the pressure and the repeating in the big games that's something that's necessary. If he is your goal kicker, Johnny Sexton is under pressure if he can't run or kick and has to be stretched every 5 or 10 minutes on it. The hope is that it's just a small pull or a bit of a bang and he gets it sorted out, you know, because the team are far more composed when he's playing and it has been built around him for a couple of years. I'd still back the other two guys to do the job and do it properly. And I think whereas the team has been built around Johnny, I think a lot of other players are standing up to the plate at the moment.
John, just before we leave Jack Carthy, you read into his background and he comes across when he was younger as probably one of these kids who would have sickened you at the time. He was so talented. He played international football at underage level for Ireland. He played minor with Roscommon. He's obviously now excelling at international level. But from what you're saying and from what a lot of people around Connacht have been saying, it didn't come easy for him. Like, he's worked his ass off to get here and is an incredibly methodical player in how he's picked up and how he's learned over the last few years. From a goal-kicking point of view, have you seen a transformation through the years? Have you seen improvements? In those big moments which may come over this World Cup for Jack Carthy, how does he respond to them from a goal-kicking point of view?
I would say that's probably his biggest work on and probably where the confidence has come from. I think his stats have improved over the last couple of years, which has given him the confidence because his off the cuff game, his running ability, his ability to take balls to the line has always been superb. And I think sometimes as a kicker, I've never kicked myself, I've never thrown into a lineup, but he can talk about this, but sometimes when you're younger and you miss a throw or you miss a kick, it can affect your game and it can affect your psychological, the next job and the next step in it. And I think that's probably been one of Jack's downfalls over the last few years. And as I said, that's improved massively over the last while, and it probably is a continued work on for him, but I think that's given him the confidence to go out there. And obviously you get older, you get a little bit wilder, and you can brush things off yourself a little bit easier. But he does put a lot of work in. He is methodical about what he does, but hopefully talking about his kicking, hopefully that comes to the fore as well over the last while. I think when he's come on, he's tactically kicked very well in open play. It's just he's got to make sure that he gets a high percentage of those kicks at posts, and that's probably been one of his weaknesses in Connacht over the years. And I think it's something that he's put an awful lot of work on, but it still, as I said, will be a huge work on for him in the future.
Keith, one of the storylines coming out of Japan over the last couple of days has been around Kean Healy and the Japanese claiming that he's been scrummaging illegally. Their prop, Yuzuki Kizu, was out saying that he steps out, he scrummages at an illegal angle. Jamie Joseph backed that up to a certain extent while saying that Kizu is a young man, probably his first ever media experience, so maybe there was a little bit of naivety, but he did say we're coming up against a very strong scrum. Yes, at times they are illegal, but they are just a very strong scrum. Is there something in this?
I think every single front row forward in the world is accused of illegal scrummaging at some stage, because it is a minefield. So if you get the edge and you can get a nudge on somebody, I'd call it good technique rather than illegal. You know, you're trying to get into a position. It's not black and white. It never has been. And you have to deal with it any which way it actually happens. But I will say, in times past, the Lions, all the way back 22 years ago, blamed Paul Wallace for illegal scrummaging, and they couldn't deal with him with it. But there was so much bleating that went on about it afterwards that the referees tend to put Paul under huge amount of pressure and to say that every time it went on, well, that was obviously Paul because he's illegal. So the mind games, it could be considered a little bit naive, but also it sows a seed of doubt in the referee's mind and the touch judge mind to say, well, actually, that's what he was talking about there. He's kind of gone on the outside. So, look, there's mind games that happen before all of them. I have to say it, though. I think Kean Healy is playing in an incredibly aggressive fashion at scrum time. He's in cracking nick. I think there's a lot of difficulty for players dealing with him, but that has been the case for a long, long time. And that pre-match chat, it's kind of part of the fun.
John touched on the fact that Japan have left their captain, Michael Leitch, out of their starting team. Jamie Joseph has said because if they're going to win this game, that it'll be in the last 5-10 minutes, so they need these finishers. Do you suspect, though, that actually this suggests that Japan are focusing more on that game against Scotland?
I think they'll have a cut at both. If they'd made wholesale changes, then I think maybe that could be the case. With Leitch off, I think it could be. It's taken a lot out of him, actually, the games that they've played already, and I think it's an opportunity for to have a captain to lead the field. They don't to lead the field at the end of a game. I like that as an idea. I've always liked it, and even when Rory Best was struggling a bit in the summer, I was still saying, look, it's really important he goes on tour, because if he's not even playing at his top of his game, imagine having him for the last 15 or 20 minutes to captain the team to closure. It's a great thing to have. So, no, I think it's important. But also, Mafi, the guy who is out, has been out injured, is an absolute bear of a man. And I think if you put him on to soften up some of the guys, the other guy could be a little bit more subtle at the end.
Ireland are 21-point favourites, Keith. Does that sound about right?
I think that's, it could be right, but I don't know if that's playing into the emotion. And I don't think Japan are as good as they were 4 years ago when they beat South Africa. Mm. And I thought that was one of the great games to watch and the great games of joy when you're looking for joy in rugby. I think we should be thereabouts. But I would still expect Japan to do something. If they get any bit of room in the game, they're very, very dangerous. So they're going to have a cut at everything. This is just a joy for them, actually, playing at home and this being such a big game for them. I think they'll raise their game. So they're thereabouts in that. I never like to see such big spreads before a match starts. It just kind of makes me feel a bit uncomfortable, or it's a little bit disrespectful or something. I don't know. But look, I expect Ireland to win and to win well. But I think we'll have a few shocks and scares.
John, I presume you're expecting Ireland to win just like Keith is and everybody else is. What are you looking for then for this performance?
Well, I think the first half is going to be quite a big pace. I think this, obviously the fact that this is a huge game for Japan as well will dictate that. I think the main thing is that we come out injury free out of this. We get a good win, and we probably I don't want to be talking about big wins and big margins, but a bonus point could mean a big lot to us as well. So I don't think we'll need it at the end of the day, but it's better to have it in the bag than not have it. But I think they'll have held back a little bit as well. They've got phenomenal coaches, Jamie Joseph, Tony Brown, etc. They're very creative men, and I think they'll have held back a little bit for the Ireland game as well. So I think it'll be tighter than a lot of people think. It was last week before the Scotland game, and I do agree with Keith. I think Scotland were very poor, but I think it could be a high-scoring game. It's great to see the Irish defence improve so much, but I have a feeling it could be a high-scoring game. I'm not sure I'd be taking 21 points on the spread.
All right, lads. Great stuff. John, Keith, enjoy the game.
Cheers.
Cheers, gents.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.